Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Friday Wrap-Up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing some of AEW's Wednesday night, some of NXT's Tuesday night, some WWE, some SmackDown, and all the latest news at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there. We want to apologize ahead of time to our Facebook subscribers who probably don't have the link to the show today because Facebook is not allowing anyone to post a link. For the last hour, we have tried unsuccessfully to post this link to this show only to be shut down every single time. No idea why links are not currently available, at least through here, they're not available. We will try posting it again afterwards. Anyway, folks, we're going to touch a little bit on what happened on AEW. I know, of course, that All In is coming out Saturday night, and that's going to be a huge event. Truthfully, I didn't think AEW was one of their better shows. Obviously, it was geared toward the pay-per-view, as it should be. But I know, you know, Chris Jericho, Joey Janela didn't make much sense. The Moxley thing didn't make a ton of sense. That was just a setup, obviously. I don't think there wasn't a ton of meat on the bone this week, except for the debut of Thunder Rosa. Now, this wasn't just really any debut because she beat, when I first seen who she was fighting, I said, well, she's not winning. So they've wasted her. But she did win. And if, and I do say if, because I've heard no guarantees that she has signed with AEW. It could just be a performance-by-performance basis. If she has signed with AEW, that is positively huge for AEW, who desperately needs quality workers in the women's division and personalities. And she has both. This could be the missing tool they really, really do need over in AEW. Now, this is a shame as far as NWA is concerned, because if they lose her. Now, I've heard nothing about NWA even considering holding shows. I know that Raven has said on a couple of occasions that regardless of what Billy Corgan says, NWA is finished. Maybe they are. I don't know. But, Mike, this was a huge addition to the women's roster, in my opinion.
It is a huge addition to the roster, and that's the thing. I mean, you still have other wrestlers in NWA now. She still got that belt, all right? You know, so but will she, you know, end up giving it back? I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's running through Billy Corgan's mind right now. But that's a big deal. And yeah, add to that the fact that now Britt Baker seems to be back. Okay, seems to be back on active duty. She's not injured anymore.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, listen, this was the week spot of AEW, as far as I'm concerned, was their women's division, especially when they lost Britt Baker. If they can add Thunder Rosa permanently, that is a really, really big signing. And I'm not overstating that. That's a very big signing. And something that could really turn their women's division around from being, in my opinion, slightly below average to well above average with just one signing. Sometimes all you need is one or two pieces to the puzzle, and then everything comes together. And this could be one of the pieces that we're missing. Aside from that, there wasn't much in AEW that I really thought was outstanding. We've got the MJF Moxley thing set up well for Saturday. I'm not going to give the whole prediction thing. I will just, you know, every match I'm not going to give a whole prediction for. I will say this. I think it's a little too early for MJF to be champion. I don't think he's going to be. I think Moxley will retain. I think they've got other plans for John Moxley. Todd, what was your thoughts this week on AEW?
It was a pretty good show. Like you said, when Thunder Rosa made her debut, it was like, this is a big deal here for the women's division. Like, you could bring something like a spark to the women's division, make it an actual women's division, like, again.
Because it was lacking. It was sorely lacking. And they need more than her, but this is a really good start. A really, really good start. And if Britt Baker is back, that's also very important. If you can get three or four top, really, what's the right word for it? Marketable female workers, then that's what you can hope for. And right now I'd say they have one or two, and then if they add Thunder Rosa, that's three. So they're real close. They're real close. Now, over in NXT, what they did was they gave you a one-hour main event that really ended up being a draw, as Finn Balor and Adam Cole both ended up with two wins apiece. And next Tuesday, they're going to have that deciding fall. Look, this isn't working out so well, and I'll tell you why. You had Karrion Kross in the place you wanted him, and he got injured, and now you're going to have to either fall back to Adam Cole, which, in my opinion, is a huge mistake, or you're going to have to go forward to Finn Balor, which, in my opinion, is a huge mistake. So now you've gotten yourself into a situation where there isn't really a good choice. There's really no good choice. Finn Balor, at this stage, as the NXT champion, isn't going to light anything on fire, and he isn't going to top any ratings. Adam Cole's been there, done that forever. What are you going to do? Just ride that pony until it drops? You had all your ducks in a row, you thought you did, with Keith Lee moving up to the roster, Karrion Kross going to be the champion. And, you know, fate reared its ugly head. Karrion Kross gets injured. And now you're going to fall back to Adam Cole or Finn Balor? I don't see a good choice in there, Mike, because Adam Cole's been champion forever and it's old. And Finn Balor, look, we've been there, done that with Finn Balor, and it wasn't a ratings boost, and it's not going to be this time.
Right, and I understand what they did with Gargano and Ciampa, but we still haven't had a closure on, you know, on Ciampa's situation with the title, because remember, he never lost the title. He gave it up. He never lost it, and the whole storyline about daddy's home, he's coming back for his title and all that stuff, you know, we haven't got closure. I really wish they would have maybe given it to Ciampa, but, you know, it might have made it a better show. I mean, as it stands right now, I look at that show, I look at AEW show for sort of a go-home show, is a pretty good go-home show. And I probably have to give that thing probably a B- for a go home show, which is very good. And for this one, I'm gonna say with the C+. You know.
Yeah, you know, 1 hour matches are tough. I wasn't really thrilled with AEW this week. I'd give it average at best because I think the squash match with Janela and Jericho did nothing. I think the squash match with Moxley did nothing. The opening tag match was, the action was fine, but it just seemed really just blah. I don't know. I wasn't overly thrilled this week with it. I know they were setting up for the main event, and they did that in other ways than matches. But aside from Thunder Rosa, which I thought that was the best match of the night, by the way, aside from that, I wasn't overly thrilled with it. Now, these one-hour matches, you really got to be invested in this. And I have to tell you that I'm just not all that invested in Finn Balor. I'm just not all that invested anymore in Ciampa and Gargano. You've ridden that horse to death. To death. It's one thing if you're going to feud for a year. When you're going to feud for 5 years, or you're going to be tag team partners in feud, and tag team partners in feud, and friends in feud, eternally, it's you're going to have to really start thinking a little more clearly. And whenever you have a big transition, like we're sending Keith Lee to the Raw, and we're going to make Karrion Kross the champion, you better have a backup plan, just in case a Karrion Kross gets injured or something happens. You had no backup plan. Again, you're just flying by the seat of your pants. The WWE is flying by the seat of their pants. And you'd think a company that's been in business as long as they have would know better than that and have some sort of a backup in mind, just in case something happened unforeseeable. But now that you're talking about how they build things up, let's get to this. There's a strong rumor that Vince McMahon has had enough of this retribution thing. Now, he's not going to kill it completely. But here's what the evidence is. Apparently, Hulu shows you about a 90-minute replay of Raw without commercials. Which means still you got to cut some things out. And what they cut out this week is Retribution attacking the Street Profits and Andrade and Angel Garza. And when some fans complained, Hulu had said, we don't make edits. We're not the ones who make the edits. The WWE makes those edits and sends over what they want us to air. We don't make any edits to their show. So if that's true, that means someone in the WWE editing was told it's not important. That's not an important factor on Raw. So just remove it. Well, I would argue that if it's a new faction and you've got big plans for them, that would be one of the most important parts of Raw. So to cut it out in the Hulu replay does not bode well. And it has some people saying that Vince McMahon has grown a little tired of it. He thinks it's not working the way he thought it might. They've already said that they're probably going to maybe pass this week, because I'm hearing they might show up this week. But past this week, they're going to be pretty much strictly Raw. They're not going to go to Raw and SmackDown, which makes no sense. And they might be minimized very quickly. So here's another example of the fans being asked to buy into what we think is going to be a major angle, and watch carefully and anticipate this and anticipate that, and it comes to a dead end. Now, if it's true that they're not going to be on SmackDown, you can forget Roman Reigns being their leader, because Roman Reigns is a SmackDown champ. So if that's true, you can throw all that out the window that we'd speculated on, which I thought would have made perfect sense, Todd. But from what I'm hearing, Retribution will, going forward, will be strictly a Raw entity, and maybe not that even big of a deal.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, if last stable like that was Nexus, who tried to took over, and that failed. When Wade Barrett was in the Nexus as the leader,
yeah,
it didn't work that well the first time. How's it going to work this time?
Well, it really didn't, because they let John Cena beat the entire Nexus by himself. This better not happen. If Retribution just gets their head handed to them by Braun Strowman, or he's SmackDown, but whoever, if they get their head handed to them by one guy, or even two guys, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know what to tell you. What I do know is this. There's no reason for Hulu to lie. So if Hulu is saying the WWE makes their own cuts based upon what they want us to air, then I have to agree that if you cut that out, you don't think that segment's very important, which means, and they weren't on the pay-per-view either, Mike, so that's odd.
That is odd. And here's something else to think about. Couple of things that I've seen floating around the internet is that, one, Roman Reigns is going, when they do the Superstar Shakeup or whatever it is called this time, Roman Reigns is going to Raw. All right. That's one thing I've heard. And the second thing I've heard is, well, that there's going to be a new Shield, and it's going to consist of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, with what's his name, with Heyman as the manager, and at least for a short time, Brock Lesnar will be in it, at least for a short time. But that's what
I can guarantee you that's not happening, because Brock Lesnar did not re-sign his contract, and he is a free agent. They've removed all of his merchandise from the WWE shop zone, and from what I hear, they had stopped talks with Brock Lesnar. So at this stage, Brock Lesnar is not a WWE wrestler at this point. And there's some talk that they're really not going to come to terms. That they just figure that Brock Lesnar's outlived his usefulness, and they're not going to pay him the type of money that he's expecting to just show up occasionally. Now, do they want to keep him out of AEW? Yeah, probably, but I don't think AEW is going to give him that type of money, and I don't think they want him there either. So I think Vince McMahon at this stage understands AEW is not going to jump to sign Brock Lesnar. And we don't want to give him that kind of money. So we're just going to work this out. So I'd be very surprised if Brock Lesnar anytime soon forms any sort of alliance with Paul Heyman and the Shield. I had heard rumors of the Shield, but I'd heard that they were possibly going to add everybody ranging from Dijakovic to some of the newer alumni in NXT. So I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Brock Lesnar since he didn't re-sign. So here's what we have. We have a faction that makes its debut, what, a month ago? Approximately, a little bit more. And within those five shows, however many shows they showed up on, they've went from this is going to be the hottest angle in WWE to Vince McMahon's editing team being told to cut it out of the replay because it's not important. That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Now, they did show up on Monday Night Raw, obviously, and they took out Zelina Vega and everybody. But, I mean, at this stage of the game, Vince McMahon could pull the trigger very quickly on a squash, you know, and just bury them and that's it. Now, the other rumor that's been circulating, we have been actually on top of, and that was that Bray Wyatt reforming a Wyatt family. And different word is circulated. Certainly, Alexa Bliss is going to be a part of that. We know that. But now some people are saying, well, it's going to be returning WWE wrestlers, but not who you think. Meaning it won't be Eric Rowan. And obviously, it can't be Luke Harper. I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not sure I think that that's accurate. Because why would you just bring two people in to the Wyatt family that nobody even knows? Now, I do know there was some talk about possibly hooking them up with these Forgotten Sons, the two guys from the Forgotten Sons, who we haven't seen since Stryker decided to post that he supports the president. That's very nice, isn't it? You know, there's a weird thing. Somebody asked Vince McMahon, Vince, do you support the president? Your wife was on his small business team. Don't tell me you don't support the president. So is it okay if you say you support the president and people come down on you? It's ludicrous. But that's what I heard, is it might be those guys. It could be some unknowns, some guys that they've just signed. But here's what I do know. You can't have 20 masked ninjas running around, 20 masked retribution guys running around, and expect everybody to keep factions straight and what's going on. So if you're going to do this, obviously this will be on SmackDown, and that might be why they're not going to have Retribution on SmackDown, which in my opinion is dumb because that's the perfect people to fight Retribution would be the Wyatt family. But instead, I guess it's going to be a Raw thing, and the Wyatt family will be on SmackDown. So I'm not really sure who they're going to take, Mike. Rumors are that it's going to be returning WWE wrestlers, but when people were pushed to is Rowan returning, they're saying no. So, I don't know who it is.
Well, I mean, like I said, if the rumors about Rowan and Heyman going to Raw are true, all right, okay, then there's that. But, yeah, you're right. And, look, they were setting it up very nicely. The whole thing with Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt and then them doing the whole thing with, Alexa Bliss,
Yeah.
And Bray Wyatt. And then who knows who they could have worked with, who any of these returning wrestlers are. I mean, we don't know what the hell, what's his name? The big guy with the beard, the
Rowan,
the former, Luke, what's his name? Brody Lee's ex-partner.
Oh, you mean Eric Rowan, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to my knowledge, he hadn't signed with anybody, has he?
Not that I know of, but the word is that he's not being rehired, so most people are saying he's out of the equation.
So I don't know then. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's weird.
I mean... Who else would you put in that group with the Wyatts?
I don't know, but the danger is this. The danger is if you put in a couple of people that doesn't make sense, it won't work. So you have to be very cautious. And I could see the WWE botching this. I could see them botching this. Trust me. The WWE has been one big, huge botch for the last I don't know how long, so I could see them botching this. I'm not even in the camp that Alexa Bliss is going to make a good member. I'm not in that camp, and I'll tell you why I'm not in that camp. Because Alexa Bliss's main asset is that she was one of these elitist sort of, I'm prettier than everybody else, I'm a princess, I get my way, and this, that's not what you want from the Wyatt family. Why would she be a part of the Wyatt family? Well, what possibly could Bray Wyatt offer her as opposed to someone who, like a Nikki Cross, who would be a hell of a lot more aggressive and a little nutty and whatever. It almost seems like you're doing this just to get her back into her old Harley Quinn character. And I don't know if that'll pan out that well for Bray Wyatt. If you're going to give him a new family, it better be really something that makes us forget about Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, and that's not going to be easy because those guys fit like a glove with the Wyatt family. That's what made the Wyatt family successful, is that those guys really looked the part and really acted the part. And you can't just say, I'm going to add this guy and this guy and this girl. Now, there was a rumor that, well, they're going to try to recreate the puppets. So you'll notice that Alexa Bliss was wearing almost what the witch puppet was wearing in the Firefly Funhouse, the Sister Abigail puppet, when she was watching the screen. And that maybe they're going to, well, what are you going to do? You're going to have somebody dressed like a vulture and a rabbit? I mean, I hope not, because that's not going to work. That's not going to work. I'm not sure who you can add that would be better than Rowan and Harper. Probably nobody. If Braun Strowman comes along, that makes sense. Because that would be like, well, Strowman tried to fight it for as long as he could, but he's fell back into the fold. That's okay. And especially if Alexa Bliss is there. Because we know the gimmick is he's supposed to be, sweet on her. So that makes sense. But you got to be awful careful who else you add. It can't just be whoever. It's I fear this. I fear this more than look forward to it, because I have a, I think there's a high possibility the WWE blows it. We'll see. Now, as far as the Roman Reigns thing, switching to SmackDown, switching to Raw, could be, but I know that Fox made it very clear to the WWE that they wanted, if they weren't going to have Brock Lesnar, they wanted Roman Reigns. Well, they're not going to have Brock Lesnar now. So to lose Roman Reigns too, I think Fox would say, well, what the hell's going on? We're paying you infinitely more money than USA Network, and you're reaching infinitely more people than the USA Network, and we want the top names. And if you didn't deliver us Ronda, like you said, you didn't deliver us Brock Lesnar, you did deliver us Roman Reigns, and now you're going to take it away? I don't think Fox is going to, you know, take that lying down, so I'm not sure they'll do that. I'm really not. Now, as far as this, the whole situation with Renee Young, some people have been asking me to comment on it. So here's what I know about Renee Young. She terminated her contract with the WWE and supposedly left on good terms, but now she is speaking out a little bit and saying that the WWE treated her how she felt was disrespectfully when she supposedly had the coronavirus. She said that while a lot of wrestlers reached out personally to her and wished her well, the WWE never checked on her at all and was mad at her because she came out and publicly said this, as opposed to telling them and letting them work it through their PR. I don't know what to say about this. Renee Young was not near death, and she was not in a hospital bed, and she was not on a ventilator. Nowadays, people like The Rock, well, I got COVID. I feel fine, but I have it. Okay, well. Then what are we supposed to do? We're all supposed to say, oh, my God, The Rock has COVID. Is he going to die? No, he's not going to die. Doesn't even feel bad. So was the WWE wrong to not say, well, you know, hope you feel better or whatever? Yeah, maybe. But I can understand them being a little bit upset that she goes to the media before she goes to their employer. I mean, the very first thing you do is you go to your employer and say, look, I've been diagnosed with COVID. How do you want me to handle this? And then, of course, she brings up, well, you know, they didn't treat my husband so well. She also says she's not going to AEW. So she's saying, squash those rumors. That's not happening. She's going to pursue new avenues of whatever. She said she really was set to do this talking smack show or whatever, but she wanted Daniel Bryan to be the co-host. That wasn't going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about Renee Young. You know, in one breath, she's saying it was a wonderful opportunity and everything was wonderful. But I don't like left-handed compliments. I don't like when people say, oh, everyone there was so wonderful and treated me so well, and I'm so fortunate to have spent some time there. However, you know, they did this and they did that and they did this. God, could you just let it rest? Let it rest. So I don't know what to say about that, Mike. I mean, I was never the biggest Renee Young fan. I'm going to be honest with you. Even at a time when people were saying, oh, my gosh, she's the best female, you know, announcer in the business, I didn't see it. And when they gave her that seat on Raw, she was terrible. She wasn't just bad. She was terrible. And the pre-shows, she was annoying sometimes. I never was a huge Renee Young fan. So her departure from the WWE doesn't really hit me too hard.
Right. You know, and that's the thing, and especially not with what she said and how she said it, but also, I don't know if you've seen the little gimmick or whatever that she and Ambrose did, where he ends up super kicking her. you know, the little video. But that was a cute video, but I'm not sure why they did it. That's number one. Number two, if she's not going to, you know, go to AEW, then this doesn't make sense. And number three, frankly, you're right about her being, she isn't even the best female, you know, commentator there. I mean, Beth Phoenix is better than her.
Yeah.
And she's only been doing it a short time.
Yeah, I think everyone was enamored with Renee Young for the following reason. Renee Young looks extremely professional. In other words, she's one of those women that you say she's very pretty, but she's not being hired just because of her looks, because she's not that glamorous. She seems very competent and very whatever. She comes off as a reporter, like a real reporter sort of, when she was asking the question. She gave off the vibe of, I am a professional. And I think a lot of people were tired of the, you know, Playboy bunny sort of announcers backstage in low cut outfits asking questions, and said, oh, this is great. Renee Young is, you know, exactly what the WWE needs. She's a competent, professional, you know, looking woman who conducts herself well, and she's not a sex kitten, and she's, you know, she is what she is. And I understand why people like that. But at the end of the day, she wasn't all that good at what she did, especially play-by-play. That was not happening, or color commentating. That was awful. She knew it was awful. They knew it was awful. Now, as far as her roundtables on the pre-shows, that got old quick. That got old quick. And I think that when Ambrose left, the writing was on the wall that she wasn't going to be too far behind Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Renee Young and everything. At least she gets it. At least she gets the concept as a professional reporter. She looks like she could try.
Yeah, I mean, she does, but again, at the end of the day, I don't think she succeeded in any major way. I think that the fans were like, push her, give her more to do, give her more to do. And the more you gave her to do, the less competent she seemed. It seemed like she was real good when she was the backstage person asking questions. As soon as she got a wider girth, then there was a lot of things that seemed a little eh about her. And there was holes in her game, let's put it that way. Maybe she just fell out of love with wrestling. I don't know. Maybe when her, you know, husband left, it was, I'm just not that interested. But I saw a definite decline in Renee Young. So wherever she goes or whatever she does, she claims it's not going to be AEW. She claims it's not even going to be wrestling. So we'll see what's next for Renee Young. As far as what we can expect tonight on SmackDown, I guess we have some sort of a four-way to determine the number one contender for Jeff Hardy's title. We got Big E and Sheamus and who else is in it? I think Baron Corbin and Matt Riddle. Logically, you'd think that Big E would get the push because he's the one who's getting the push, but I don't see Big E versus Jeff Hardy as being something they want to promote. I don't think Matt Riddle against Jeff Hardy is something they want to promote. And we've already done Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. So it may be Baron Corbin, which I kind of hope not, because then I know where that's going to go. It's going to be Matt Riddle, Baron Corbin. And Matt Riddle will probably be the champion. And as much as I'm all for giving the new guys the opportunities, I don't want to see a Matt Riddle championship. I just don't. I just don't, because I'm just not invested at all in his character. I don't think he's entertaining to watch. And I just think I'd rather watch Jeff Hardy be the champion than Matt Riddle. Now, somebody had brought up that apparently AJ Styles had said he got tested positive for coronavirus, but didn't really miss much time or whatever. Look, Here's the deal, and I'm only going to say this one more time. I don't know how many people are listening to me right now, but if you go to the doctor and get tested, there's, I don't know, there's probably a 50-50 chance that they're going to say, yeah, you got it, because apparently everybody does. Apparently everybody's got that little whatever that says, oh, yeah, you have it, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not sick. If you're not sick, you're not sick. It's like going to get tested and say, oh, you know what? You have a touch of the flu. Well, I don't feel bad. Yeah, but you do. You have a touch of the flu. Okay. Well, what should I do about it? Huh? You know, if you feel fine, nothing, I guess, you know. But you do have a little touch of it. Okay. And then you go on with your life. Nowadays, if somebody says the coronavirus, it's, well, they're dead. They're going to die. Well, we've just proven otherwise, right? Renee Young had it. Apparently, so did several other WWE athletes. They're all fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. The Rock's not going to die. And now, of course, we're hearing that, you know, we're hearing conflicting rumors. First, the CDC says 94% died with COVID in their system, but not of COVID. And then if you try to post that anywhere, on social media, it's, no, that's a lie. They never said that. Well, no, they did say that. And they're trying to say, they didn't say they didn't die because of COVID. They're saying they died with other issues besides COVID in their system too. Okay, but that's like an elderly person who has a lung disease and then they catch pneumonia. And you say, well, the pneumonia finished them off. Well, the pneumonia wouldn't have finished them off, though, if they didn't have the lung disease. See, that's the difference. You're 88 years old, you better not catch pneumonia, because that's not going to work out well for you. If you're 28 years old and you catch pneumonia, there's a really, really, really good chance you'll miss a couple days of work. And that's about it. Now, there are exceptions to those rules, of course, but that's logically the normal. So I don't know what's trying to be, you know, said here. I don't know what's trying to be covered up. But the bottom line of the situation is, I'm not even sure the people who are tested that say I feel fine, but supposedly I'd have COVID, I'm not sure I even believe it anymore. I mean, at the end of the day, you only have somebody's word that that's it. If they go in and they say, hey, man, you got COVID. Okay, well, but I feel fine. Yeah, but you have it. Okay. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe the test is inaccurate. Maybe it's picking up a false positive somewhere else. So this is why when Renee Young says, well, I had COVID, how many days? She didn't miss much time. Moxley went home to be with her. He didn't catch it. So I don't know what to think about this whole thing, Mike, because now, like, the floodgates are opening. And the closer it gets, funny enough, the closer it gets to Election Day, the more people come down with COVID.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, and from what I understand about these tests, a high percentage, a relatively high percentage of these tests come back with false positives. So you really can't control, can't, you know, what's the term I'm looking for? Can't with definitely say that they've had COVID if, in general, a high percentage of these tests, a relatively high percentage of these tests, come back with false positives. So what can you say? The tests are inaccurate at times, yes. And these guys, you know, I feel bad, but I may have had it, but, you know, I don't feel too bad. I don't feel bad enough that I'm not going to, you know, come back and wrestle and stay. So, you know, you got that going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mess. So, you know, when somebody like Renee Young says, well, you know, I didn't go to my employer first. Well, you probably should, though. I mean, at the end of the day, I think you owe it to your employer to contact them first and say, this is what happened. And how would you like me to handle this? And if they say, we want you to cover this up and not say to the world you have it, then if you go ahead and come out and say, well, I'm not doing that, I can respect that. I can respect that and say, well, no, they didn't want to cover it up. But when you say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and make my announcement, maybe the WWE would have rather have made an announcement their way, or waited and had a second test, or whatever it happened to be. So I'm not 100% sure I can agree with Renee Young on this. I'm really not. There seems to just be, here's the problem. It seems that there are more disgruntled employees in the WWE than there are happy ones. You know, for every person you run across, like an Oscar or Drew McIntyre, or, you know, that says, oh, I love being here, or even Seth Rollins, there's, you know, 18 who say, is it terrible? I don't like it. Well, then go do something else with your life. Don't re-sign that contract. Don't sell your soul to the devil for the money then. Just say, no, it's not worth the money. At least that's what the Revival did. The Revival said, look, we're not going to make as much money. So we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that we turned down more money than we're going to see somewhere else, but we're happy doing what we want to do here. So at least you can respect that. Not that they're doing a hell of a lot, are they? But at least you can respect that. But when somebody says, oh, it's terrible here, I don't like it, I don't feel whatever, how much money? I'll sign. Well, okay. Well, then guess what? I don't feel sorry for you. There's no amount of money that's going to make me stay in a job I detest or a work environment that I detest. Because there's not one WWE wrestler from the lowest mid-card to the most main eventer that couldn't write their own ticket somewhere else. Cody Rhodes proved that on the independent circuit, didn't he, before AEW. He left. He was at best a mid-carder, and at worst, a low, low mid-carder in the WWE at the time. And he wrote his own ticket, didn't he? And he said, I'm making more money on the independent circuit than I made in the WWE. So it's not like it's WWE, AEW, or go dig a ditch. That's not true. There's a huge wide open market for people. Now, COVID slowed that down, but it's not going to last forever. And at some point, if you're not happy doing what you do or the company you do it for, and you continue to stay there, Mike, then the fault is yours.
Right. Then the fault is yours. And that's the thing. And, you know, there are reasons why the morale in the WWE locker room is so low. And we've basically talked about those reasons. And so I can understand why people feel they're not getting a fair shake or whatever with the WWE, because they've been, whatever characters haven't been handled right, they haven't been booked right, all this stuff. There are reasons, you know. And speaking of people who should never have been cut but were, I don't know where TNA is going with Heath Slater, but I mean, they say he's not signed, even though we know he is. So I don't know what they're doing with that.
Well, I think it's interesting. I think they're trying to build up a little interest in Heath Slater. The thing about Heath Slater that I think any wrestling federation he works for has to understand is, despite the fact that he apparently is a tough guy in real life, Golden Gloves boxer, a couple other things, his main strength, like it or lump it, is the fact that he's genuinely funny, and he has a really good sense of what's funny and what's quirky and catchy. And I think you need to exploit that as much as possible. It doesn't mean he has to be a comedy act wrestler necessarily, but it does mean that he has to have that in him. In other words, if you just want to make him this tough guy, it's not going to work. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. It just doesn't. Doesn't mean anything. If in real life, maybe he could kick the hell out of some people that are being portrayed as tough guys, but that doesn't matter. His main strength is in the fact that he's a very good character actor when it comes to these quirky, funny things. And you may as well exploit that because that's what he's good at. And it doesn't mean he has to be a jabron. It doesn't mean he has to be even a mid-carder. It just means you have to let that side of his personality out because that's a major side of it. And Eric Young wins the title after being not just a jabron in the WWE, but literally the invisible man. Literally the invisible man. So that goes to show you that a guy like Eric Young certainly does have avenues he could pursue. Eric Young may not be making the money he's making in WWE, but I guarantee you he's happier being the champion of TNA than he or Impact than he is being the guy who's sitting at catering. And Eric Young has a lot to offer, and they absolutely did not take advantage of Eric Young. Absolutely did not respect Eric Young. And I said that from Jump Street. You had Sanity ready to go, and you literally jobbed them out when there was no reason on God's green earth to do it. And where are they all now? See, that's the thing about the WWE. They waste too many opportunities. Way too many opportunities. And then you can look back and say, what could have been with Sanity? What could have been with so many of these wrestlers? Well, we're seeing what could have been with Eric Young. I mean, you know, Eric Young is a quality wrestler. And he has a lot of personalities, good mic skills. There's really no downside to a guy like Eric Young, Todd. And yet the WWE literally just buried him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. When he came up on the main roster from NXT, you're just going to be jabrones. You're not going to be like a scary stable. You're just going to be like, you're going to job out. I think they were better off in NXT. They tore down the roof over there. They should have stayed there.
Really did. They really did. And Eric Young had said in an interview that Triple H didn't even know that he was going to be released because Triple H was talking about bringing him back to NXT and how they were going to introduce him and do this and that. And he said, the next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call, I'm fired. So I don't know what to tell you. What I do know is that with Paul Heyman coming back into the fold, we probably have a situation where there's going to be some people who are not happy about that. I mean, AJ Styles has flat out called him a bull-faced liar. And some other people have indicated that they're not big, huge fans of Paul Heyman backstage. And now he's being given another plum role of your Roman Reigns manager. Now you're going to manage the champion yet again. And I think maybe some of the wrestlers are taking a look at this and saying, well, I don't know, man, you know, who do you got to shit on to get a push around here? I do everything I'm supposed to do. I don't say boo to the wrong people. And I get nothing. Paul Heyman shits on everybody, makes enemies backstage, isolates half the wrestlers, and he gets this huge, you know, reward for it. That's a problem, Mike, and that's why I think some of the wrestlers look at the hierarchy of the WWE and say, why am I bothering to try so hard to follow every rule when it seems like the people who don't are the people who get ahead?
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, think about it. We have this going on, and he's been going at it as a heel. Well, if Reigns is there and AJ's there, who you think the fans are going to cheer? You know.
Yeah. No doubt.
I know they want to make Reigns a heel, but I thought they wanted to make AJ a heel at one point too. So,
yeah, and you know, in a way, I feel sorry for AJ Styles because he says, "Well, I come over to SmackDown to get away from Paul Heyman because I don't like Paul Heyman." Me and Paul Heyman do not get along. And then they bring Paul Heyman to SmackDown. I'll tell you. This is what you get for being such a team player, you know. AJ Styles is one of those guys who doesn't do a lot of complaining and just does his job and that's it. But, man, sometimes you have to think, was that done on purpose? Because, I mean, you basically told me, go ahead and move to SmackDown so you don't have to deal with Paul Heyman. And then you move Paul Heyman to SmackDown. That sounds on purpose. It just does. So I don't know. I don't know how AJ Styles feels about this. He's not going to say, you know, he's going to be like, whatever. You know, I can work with anybody, which is fine. But, and Paul's not in any power control anymore. So it's not like Paul's going to be dictating things to AJ. That's not going to happen. So I guess AJ can just live with it. But still, you know, if I'm AJ Styles, I'm saying what the actual fuck. I came to you and said I had a real problem with Paul Heyman. And I'd like to go move to SmackDown because of what he did to my buddies here. And I, you know, I don't think I'll escape the shadow of that. And I don't want to really be dealing with him on a regular basis. So can I move to SmackDown? And they say, yes, that's a very good idea. Move to SmackDown. And then a month later, guess who's on SmackDown? Paul Heyman. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, you know, if you're AJ Styles, I think you got a right to be a little bit upset about that.
I think you do too. And that's the thing. I mean, his buddies are no longer there. Supposed to be. The club was supposed to be a big deal, and now they're not. And now it looks. I mean, look at how they're being treated. Look at how Gallows and Anderson are being treated in Impact. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're doing a little funny stuff, but it's more serious, and that's the thing. And think about this: two of the four people that were in Sanity are now in Impact. Okay.
Right.
Sawyer Fulton is in Impact. So is Eric Young. The only one that's really doing anything on the main roster now is, of course, Nikki Cross. And the other one is Damo O'Connor. Well, I'm trying to count what they call him, but he's down in NXT right now. Now, I think he was fit with the Wyatt family, but he's in NXT right now, you know?
Killian Dane, yeah, they could bring him up. I mean, I guess he'd fit with them, but we've seen him before and not successfully when they brought up Sanity, you know? We've seen him getting his ass kicked. I don't know. Anyway, this Saturday night, All In is going to be very important, I think, to AEW. We'll see what their actual buy rate is and how successful the pay-per-view is. I did want to talk about the fact that NXT being on Tuesday nights for a couple of weeks has led some people to speculate that they are fleshing out the move. And they have drawn way higher ratings on Tuesday night. They've hit 850, 860, 860,000, which is, you know, 100,000 plus more than they normally hit. So if they can pull down, I think if this week they pull down 8.5, I think they really seriously have to look at it. And is AEW going to declare that a victory? You're damn right they're going to declare that a victory, because it is a victory. It absolutely is a victory. The first person to blink was NXT. If they switched to Tuesday nights, the first person to blink was NXT. There's no question about it. But then we have to take a look at what happens to AEW ratings, too. Does AEW ratings go up because now some people don't have to make a choice? Or does AEW ratings go down because, oh, my God, we got Monday wrestling, Tuesday wrestling, Wednesday, come on, am I going to watch that? And then we got Friday wrestling and then pay-per-view on Sunday, and maybe it's overkill. So the WWE may be figuring moving to Tuesday catches the audience more than a Wednesday, where you say, look, let's say it's a Sunday pay-per-view. They followed up with Monday Night Raw. Tuesday you got NXT. Maybe Wednesday you're wrestled out. And you say, That's just too much. So I don't know. I mean, or it could go the opposite, where fans say, well, now that there isn't two choices to be had, you could see AEW move up another 100,000, which would put them pretty close to the 1 million mark, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, they were already turned the ratings battle around. Now, granted, you're going to say, well, not the last couple of weeks, but you got to understand what was happening, what TNT does, what other things TNT has on their channel. TNT, the reason why, I think one of the reasons why AEW moved is TNT thought they were going to have the NBA playoffs in that spot.
Right.
But when the NBA decided not to play any games that particular week, you know, then it made that move look not good because the normal spot was not there to be had. So nothing, what they had planned was not there to be had. So, but again, if their ratings go up and NXT ratings go up, then yeah, you're damn right it's going to be an AEW win.
Oh, absolutely will be. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it, Todd. If they move to Tuesday, it's to get away from having to compete directly with AEW. If their ratings go up because of it, great, but no one is going to look at that and say, oh, they just did that because, you know, it's a more opportune time. They're going to say they did it because they wanted to separate from AEW because it was too heavy a competition.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was, like you said, I remember Thunder and SmackDown were on Thursday nights back in the day, doing their little Wednesday,
yep,
Thursday night war. Then WCW put Thunder, move them to Wednesday nights. I guess they're losing in ratings and trying to get ratings up at that time.
Yeah, see, that's how it's going to be perceived. It's going to be perceived that AEW won the ratings war and NXT blinked and moved. Even if it's not 100% true, that's the way it's going to be perceived. But it could be a win for both companies. Because if NXT goes up from the high 700s to the high 800s, or even low 9, and AEW goes from the mid 800s to the mid 9s, it's a win for both companies. The only thing we have to wait and see is there a market for that much wrestling where it's every night? Literally every night. And we'll just have to wait and see. I do think, however, that AEW, in some weird way, does deserve that accolade, because while the WWE was fledgling around with NXT, trying to figure out what do people want to see, bring Charlotte Flair there, bring Sasha Banks there, bring, you know, Kevin Owens there, whoever we have to bring, AEW just marched on with their show. Didn't change anything. They didn't say, oh, let's panic mode. Let's, you know, go hire somebody. They didn't do that. They just presented their show. And if at the end of the day, they won that ratings war, then they won it fair and square. And if NXT has to blink, well, then they blinked. And the classy move is to say, look, we're going to go ahead and move. We feel it's a better spot for us. There's a lot of AEW fans. There's no sense of splitting the two. And that would be the class way to put it. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. What's your last word on it, Mike?
Whether they do it, I don't know. But that'd be, like I said, that'd be the class way to go. And to all respects, you know, there have been some little missteps here and there with Cody. But by all respects, he is a class guy, you know. As is his brother, as is a lot of the people that are in that company. So I wouldn't at all pass him to be that class guy, you know.
Well, let's hope the WWE can do that, because it's going to be the WWE who gets asked. And the WWE's got to be classy enough to say, look, we moved. Yes, it's better for wrestling fans in general. They were winning the war, and, you know, we moved so that everybody could enjoy both shows. Anyway, folks, we'll be back here on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat.